One of our affirmations of faith that we make at Daleville Christian Church can be found in 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, the 4th through the 6th verses. God, our Savior, wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. God's word for today is from 2 Timothy in the 2nd chapter, the 14th through the 19th verses, where the apostle writes, "Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, 'The Lord knows those who are His,' and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness." May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. I have told you any number of times that I was called to be your pastor. It was an event in the past, and I am called to be your pastor, a present and ongoing process. But it occurred to me that many of you here may not have any idea how a congregation calls a pastor. I've been here so many years, it's been many years since Daleville Christian Church called a pastor. Well, briefly, in the Christian church tradition, the congregation calls the pastor. There is no other authority or hierarchy or office like bishop who take it upon themselves to call a pastor or send a pastor to a congregation. In our tradition, the congregation calls the pastor. The calling of the pastor, we teach, is a spiritual process of candidacy and a spiritual process of prayer. The congregation considers a candidate to serve as a pastor. There are interviews, introductions, usually a sermon. When I spoke about my tenure here at Daleville Christian Church a while back, I said that if you should ever want to get rid of me, by the way, that's a terrible phrase, to get rid of, as if you were putting out the trash. In my house, we prefer the phrase, find another home for. If you would ever want to find another home for me, you would need to pray me out. That is how I seek God's will for myself. That is how you should seek God's will for me, by praying for God's will to be made known, to be revealed. And you can pray about that, and you should pray about that, because it is your responsibility to call me to this church. And in my mind, since the Holy Spirit rests upon all of us, you also must pray to be sure that God's will is known and followed. In a world of the spiritually led, pastor and congregation would all know when a pastor is called to a congregation, and all would know when a pastor is being called away from a congregation. Having explained the process, we look at God's word that mentions in more than one place some very tough things happening among Jesus' churches and those who would lead Jesus' churches. Briefly, we can say that not everyone, the church and its leaders, are on the same page. Even worse, some leaders are not even on the same page as the apostles. Today's word of God confirms this for us. It states clearly, "Warn them," that is, warn the church before God, "against quarreling about words. It is of no value, only ruins those who listen." do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, who correctly handles the truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. We are not only warned about handling the word of truth, two men are named who have departed from the truth. And they are teachers. Hymenaeus, Philetus, their teaching spreads like gangrene, destroying the body of Christ. That's horrible. The warning is to the churches, and the warning is to the churches concerning leaders. In this particular case, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who are not correctly handling the truth. This is a warning to the churches concerning leadership. Churches should want leaders who correctly handle the truth. Churches should call leaders who correctly handle the truth. Churches should avoid leaders who do not correctly handle the truth. And unfortunately, this is not the only warning in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. The apostle is talking about people of faith. The apostle is talking about church elders and pastors and Sunday school teachers. And I know they didn't have Sunday school back then, but I think you get what I'm saying. And although these things happened a long time ago, let us not fool ourselves into thinking they don't happen today. And there are several well-known and famous examples. For the apostle is talking about people of faith, cunning, craftiness, deceitful scheming. Deceitful about what? Deceitful about God's word. That is why the apostle so often says, hold on to your faith. 2 Thessalonians, brothers, stand firm, hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. You see, friends, this early in the church's history, they did not have copies of the Bible as you have, that they could pick up and refer to. The entire New Testament had not yet been put together as you have in front of you. So the apostles' teaching was primary, word and letter. The apostle will go so far as to say to the churches in 1 Timothy, command certain people not to teach false doctrines. Some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. So these teachers are confident in what they say, but what they say is a false teaching. What we do not know is if the apostle was successful in getting these people to stop teaching. Now, I should notice for you that there were pagan agitators that the church had to deal with, just as we have today. Pagan agitators, people who are not believers, people who don't claim to be followers of Jesus, and they agitate the church, unbelievers. But the church also had to deal with preachers, teachers, and church leaders who are teaching wrong things. People in the church teaching wrong things. These are not just warnings for the future. These are warnings for even now. For there were those who had already departed from correct teaching in the past, and there are already those who have departed from correct teaching in the present. And it isn't just wrong teaching that is the problem. Sometimes it's the teacher that is the problem. The source of the teaching is the problem. Sometimes it's the teachers themselves Remember the words in Ephesians: cunning, craftiness, deceitful scheming. Those are the teachers. Those are the elders of some churches. Those are some evangelists. Let's take a look at some of the instructions for choosing church leadership. Elders are mentioned especially in one of Peter's letters, 1 Peter chapter 5. To the elders among you I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those who entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Be shepherds. There's a whole sermon there. But we get some idea of what a shepherd is like from this passage. And remember, I am a shepherd, called to be a shepherd to the flock. And the elders are to be shepherds with me. And we answer to the great shepherd, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are three qualities of shepherding. And these ideas are from Pastor John Piper. And he points out that the churches the apostle is writing to were suffering. And as he addresses the situation of suffering, the apostle tells us three things about the kind of oversight elder shepherds should exercise. Each of the three things has a negative and a positive. Exercise your oversight not under compulsion, not because you must, but voluntarily, according to the will of God. You see, in a suffering church, elders may not want to serve because it's harder to serve when the church is suffering. But they feel obligated to serve the church. The apostle says, don't do that. They're instructed to serve voluntarily. They're also instructed as elder shepherds to serve not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Money or status cannot be your motivation to serve as an elder. And yet we will discover in a minute that for some people, money and status were the reasons they wanted to be pastor or to shepherd. The apostle wrote, exercise your oversight, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. Again, there are those who would shepherd as a way to leverage power or wield power over the flock. Peter says no. The apostle will mention in another letter by name some men who failed in the ancient church to follow these instructions. And the apostle wrote, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For some people, money and status or pushing people around were the reasons why they wanted to pastor or to shepherd. The apostle writes, 2 Timothy, for Demas, a man, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. The apostle goes on to write, Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. Another Alexander is mentioned, unless it's the same one, mentioned as before, listed as being handed over to Satan so that he will stop speaking wrongly about the Lord God. History even tells us of later people like Meander, a man who taught incorrectly about the resurrection. Also a man named Simon and Carpocrates. Today we read about Hymenaeus and Philetus. My job, while I am your pastor, is to warn you, as the apostle warned his churches. My job, while I'm your pastor, is to inoculate you in the Word of God. Not indoctrinate, inoculate. Do you know what I mean? I'm to teach you these things in order to protect you from such people. I'm to teach you these things in order to protect you from such teachings. So you will recognize such teachings as being false teachings. My shepherding is to protect you in the present from people who would scam you, whether to scam your goodwill, your good intentions, or your good teaching. My shepherding is to protect you in the future from people who would scam you. You are to recognize their false teaching. In 1 Timothy 6, the apostle writes, "These are the things you are to teach and insist on. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they're conceited, they understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy and strife and malicious talk and evil suspicions and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain." The apostle went on to say, "Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and in so doing have departed from the faith." I am to shepherd so that you can recognize that which is called knowledge but is not, so that you will hold to sound instruction and godly teaching. I've included in the bulletin a brief outline of what you should have learned while you were here at Daleville Christian Church. Since I am pastor here and have been pastor here for so long, these are things you should have picked up if you spent any time at Daleville Christian Church. Number one, God's Word is the most important thing, period. Number two, your relationship to Jesus is the most important thing, period. And if you have any questions about number two, refer back to number one. Also, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and His righteousness and all these things will be added to you. Jesus said that. Ask, seek, knock. Jesus said that. Love. Jesus said that. Hold to the teaching. In a hymn we sing, the church's one foundation. We sing the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is His new creation. The church is His, Jesus' new creation, by water, the water of baptism, and the Word of God. In verse 3, we sing, "Though with a scornful wonder men see her, see the church sore oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed. Yet saints their watch are keeping, their cry goes up, how long? And soon the night of weeping will be the morning of song." Hold to the teaching of God's Word. We read it throughout the New Testament. Romans, "I urge you to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them." 1 Corinthians brings praise. "I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the teachings, just as I pass them on to you." The apostle praises the congregation. In Hebrews, "Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teaching." 1 Timothy 4, "If you point these things out, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of good teaching that you have followed." Almost every letter, warnings and encouragement. Hold on to God's Word and be led by those who do. Amen.